Welcome to Generations, friends. Kevin Swanson with you, Executive Director for Christian Home Educators, also a pastor and a father of five. Dave Buhner also here with me. He's a father of five, too. We homeschool our kids out here in the eastern plains of Colorado. And last Friday, we were all down at the Capitol, ran into Denver, and there were some 2,000 people at that rally. A lot of homeschoolers down there. Dave, I think this is the largest regular rally at the Capitol on an annual basis that they see down there, which is really encouraging to know that, you know, a lot of people are committed to homeschooling and they're willing to stand for their family freedoms come snow or sleet. Now, there's a little snow, but it wasn't too bad.
No, it wasn't too bad. It is encouraging to know there's that many people who are willing to pay $6-$10 to park their 15-passenger van downtown. You know, it's really hard to park a 15-passenger van downtown.
Oh, I know. And you know, I think we were packing out the parking lots. We had a great time. We had a good rally. And I think we had more legislators there, more senators and more House reps than we have ever had in the history of homeschooling in Colorado at our Day at the Capitol event. So a very, very encouraging turnout on all sides. And also, Dr. David Noble was there, and he gave some presentations to the youth, to the teens at the Pillar of Fire Church. And folks, we had at least 1,000 young people trained in a biblical perspective of civil government. So again, exciting times. But again, David Noble did a presentation at the rally called What's Right with America? And it really hit me. I thought, man alive, I've been talking about some of the things that have been going wrong, but there's a lot of good things. God has sustained some very good things here in America. And Dave, I think we want to plagiarize a little bit of what David Noble shared with us.
Well, we just want to say that David Noble stimulated our minds.
Yeah, there you go. That's a better way of putting it. You know, at the same time, my dad sent me a link. My dad does a lot of research for this radio show. Sent me a link to some surveys that had been done on the top 50 most non-religious nations in the world, and also the nations that believe in Darwinian evolution of man. Okay, and I just thought this was really interesting because the most non-religious nations in the world are not the United States. As it turns out, the United States is still fairly religious. That is, they still believe in some kind of a god, okay, outside of man. Now, when we say...
Don't say that too loud, because the Democrats will want to spend more money to kind of crush that.
Yeah, well...
Don't say that too loud.
Well, the Democrats don't listen to this show, Dave, so we're just going to talk about what's right with America today.
But they will increase public school spending in order to stop this. Don't you understand?
Oh, I understand. They're failing. I understand.
They're spending billions and billions and billions, and they're failing.
They've only spent $8 trillion, Dave, and they're still failing. But you know, that aside, I think we're making some progress, and God is sustaining the nation to some extent. The most non-religious nations in the world, the most atheistic nation in the world, is Sweden. That's number one. Sweden is the most non-religious, and I think it's up around 85% claim that there is no God, and they don't believe in any God outside of themselves. That's 85% of Sweden. Now, that's a shame, because I'm from Sweden. My relatives were from Sweden, and I guess we got out at the right time, because Sweden is pretty much down the tubes, folks. And there is no fear of God as the beginning of wisdom, certainly in that country. Vietnam is number two. So the top two most non-religious nations in the world, Sweden and Vietnam. Also, Denmark, Norway, Japan. Japan is extremely non-religious, which shocked the Japanese, because the Japanese thought that they believed in the Shinto gods and the Buddhist gods. Turns out they really don't. They believe in them long enough to hope that somehow these gods might help them make some material wealth during the year. So they might, you know, render some obeisance to these gods, but only in order to serve the big humanist materialist god that is in the Japanese, the average Japanese. Also, the Czech Republic, Finland, France, and South Korea, Estonia, Germany, and Russia are the most non-religious and the most atheistic nations in the world. And it's interesting, Dave, that it's not always a communist nation that's the most atheist nation. But the least non-religious nations on this list, okay, again, we're talking about, I know this is complicated, but the least non-religious nations on this list are nations like the United States, Albania, Argentina, the Dominican Republic. Cuba is on here. Cuba has a very, very, very low percentage of people who claim to be atheistic, such that it doesn't even show up on the list, which is interesting. Fidel apparently has not done his job over all this time. And what's also interesting here, Dave, on this list, is that North Korea is far, far, far less non-religious, and that is more religious, than South Korea, which means that if you want a godless materialism, if you want a humanism that preaches a godless materialism, you're going to do better if you're not a communist nation that's starving its own people to death, if you want to accomplish that. I think it's interesting how you've got very few atheists in North Korea today, and I think one of the main reasons is because, you know, despite all of the intent of this communist government, these guys are starving to death, and they're thinking, you know, they're just crying out to God or the gods or whoever to deliver them from this horrible man who's, you know, deified man. Another survey, and this survey was based upon the question, did human beings, as we know them, develop from earlier species of animals? So this is a purely evolutionary question. Did we evolve out of the cosmic dust and out from an ape and so forth and so on? Well, it turns out the most evolutionary nations on Earth are Iceland, Denmark, Sweden. Again, Northern European nations. Again, Northern European nations are the most evil, the most atheistic, the most evolutionary nations on Earth, folks. Iceland, Denmark, and Sweden are the worst, which means that God as the center in metaphysics and epistemology and ethics are not preached in these churches, which means the church in these nations have completely lost any kind of a message in these lands of Iceland, Denmark, and Sweden. Also, coming up second on these, and by the way, these nations believe in evolution, and they're far more likely to believe in evolution than creation. That would include nations like France, Japan, Britain, Norway, Belgium, Spain, Germany, Italy, Netherlands. These are the central European nations, plus England, okay? So this is the core of England, is also very evolutionary, not as evolutionary as the Northern Europe. And then comes Eastern Europe. So Eastern Europe, the communists aren't nearly as evolutionary as Northern Europe and Central Europe. And that would include nations like Hungary, Luxembourg, Ireland. Well, Ireland is up there too. Slovenia, Finland, Czech Republic, Estonia, Malta, Switzerland, Poland, Austria, and so forth. A couple other nations thrown in there, Ireland and Switzerland, are both nations that still have somewhat of a godly metaphysics, still be somewhat Christian in their view of things. So again, Eastern Europe and the communists are right there, but at the very, very, very bottom, the lowest percentage of those who believe in evolution live in these nations, Cyprus, United States, and Turkey. Okay, so we're at the very, very bottom, and which means, Dave, that there is still a biblical epistemology that rules this nation. In fact, 40% of Americans believe that we evolved from monkeys, and that number in Iceland and Denmark is closer to 85%. So in America, much, much lower percentage of people believe that we evolved from monkeys, which means, Dave, that despite the trillions upon trillions upon trillions of dollars that we have tossed into teaching evolution in our museums, in our public schools, and our universities, we still do not have a majority of Americans that would believe that we evolved from apes, which also means that the little guy in the story of the Emperor's New Clothes has a pretty good megaphone in America. Okay? Remember the guy in the Emperor's New Clothes, the little kid who, despite all of the propaganda campaign, this little guy took one look at the emperor and said, hey, the guy's nude. He said, hey, the dude's nude. You know, and so this little guy, I think, has a megaphone in America, and his name is Ken Ham.
Ken Ham's one of many people who are speaking through that microphone, that megaphone. And, you know, 40% of Americans believe that we evolved from some lower form or higher form. I'm not sure which they actually believe, but that means that 60% don't. That means that the majority of Americans still believe that man is unique in all of nature. They can spend the trillions and trillions of dollars, but at some point propaganda is realized as propaganda.
And thanks be to God that the little guy in the Emperor's New Clothes has a megaphone. Thanks be to God that he's screaming it out. The dude's nude. And I know that those that oppose this are dead set against it and will do everything they can. They will throw billions and trillions of dollars to oppose these people. The Creation Museums and the Expelled documentary that's coming out with Ben Stein this week, and he's going to talk about how they're booting, you know, any scientist that wants to question the dogma, the orthodoxy of the evolutionary establishment concerning this idea that somehow a rock turned into a human being is chucked out of the universities as teachers. They don't get their PhDs, et cetera, because they are rational people who question the orthodoxy of a really, really, really bad Darwinian hypothesis. Okay, now, Dave, here's the other point that we want to draw from this. God, I think, might preserve our nation. Okay, assuming that there are still 60% of Americans who might fear God. Now, there's a percentage of these people that are sort of on the lines. About 52% of people do not believe we descended from apes, and about 10% of people are not sure about this, and about 40% do believe that we descended from apes and will not respect the Word of God and the Bible as the standard, and will not believe that God is their source, and they are ethically accountable and responsible to this God. Okay, so I think there is a higher percentage of people in America who fear God, which means there may be hope for this country, Dave. This is where we're headed on this. We may have some hope for America, my friends, because we are one of the few nations that do not have a majority that believe that we have descended from apes. We still have a majority that still might have some little modicum of the fear of God in their hearts. And for that reason, God may not destroy this nation. And, of course, I'm assuming God exists, okay? The whole hinge point of this program, my friends, is that God exists. And God is big. And God made this earth. And God is powerful. And God could destroy empires and nations who refuse to fear him. I'm assuming that. And therefore, I'm assuming that if we're able to retain a population in America, I know they haven't done it in Iceland and Denmark and Sweden and France and Japan and Britain. I know they haven't done it there. But if we can retain it here, and if God exists, which I know none of these nations believe God exists, but we're assuming that, I believe that maybe God could save America. Ladies and gentlemen, in just a moment, a little bit more on America. America, the most charitable nation in the world. That next on Generations. My name is Kevin Smith. Back on Generations, folks, talking about what's right with America. Hey, God has blessed this nation in so many different ways. Obviously, the most prosperous nation, most God-blessed nation. In terms of freedom, you're not going to find too many other nations that have as many freedoms as we do. Now, again, we complain that we have been losing freedoms over the years, and we complain about the imposition of Darwinism over the last 150 years. Let's face it, back in 1910, Dave, there wouldn't have been 40% of Americans that had said we had descended from apes. It would have been much less than that, but it is certainly made a significant amount of progress since the 18th century. Nevertheless, we're retaining some support for creationism, and I think largely due to people like Henry Morris, John C. Whitcomb, and Ken Ham, who have done a marvelous job as being the little guy with the megaphone yelling out, "Hey, the dude's nude," as the emperor goes by.
You talk about freedom and liberty. Think about it. We're complaining about the state of America on American airwaves. The very fact that we can complain about losing liberty shows just how much liberty we still do have, because that's not true everywhere.
You can't do that in Canada. You can't say a lot of the things we say on the air in Canada. My understanding is focused on the family themselves have to modify their program that they air on Canadian AM and FM stations.
That's right, because they can't say things like homosexuality is an abomination. And I just said it right here on American Airways.
You did it again, Dave. You did it again. All right. What a blessing that to creationism is still believed in this country.
It is a blessing. You know, I think it's really hard to suppress that because the heavens declare the glory of God. And no matter how much money you spend, you can't cover up the sky. As long as the glory of God is declared in the heavens, it's going to be really, really hard to suppress that.
Oh, boy. It doesn't matter how many trillions of dollars you try to suppress the glory of God in creation, my friends. God's going to one-up that with his star system. It's just an amazing thing. Well, let's get back to what's right with America. And, Dave, a number of articles here. Here's a USA Today article talking about how America is the most charitable nation on the face of the earth. Americans gave nearly $300 billion to charitable causes last year, setting a new record. And read down here in the article, individuals gave a combined 75.6% of the total. That is, it's not just a bunch of foundations doing it. There's a lot of individuals out there giving of their money with bequests. That rises to 83.4%. And here is Claire Gaudiani, a professor of New York University's Heyman Center for Philanthropy and the author of a book called The Greater Good, How Philanthropy Drives the American Economy and Can Save Capitalism. And this lady says it tells you something about American culture that is unlike any other country in the world. She says the willingness of Americans to give cuts across income levels, and their investments go to developing ideas, inventions, and people to the benefit of the overall economy. She says Americans give twice as much as the next most charitable country. Twice as much, Dave. In philanthropic giving as a percentage of gross domestic product. So we're not just talking about amount. We're talking about percentage of gross domestic product. Americans rank first at 1.7%. Number two is Britain at 0.73%. I mean, that's less than half. That's number two most generous nation in the world is Britain, who gives 0.73% of their gross domestic product. So less than half of what Americans give as a percentage of their GDP. And France at 0.14% is number three. It's unbelievable. 0.14%. The French give a tenth in the percentage of the GDP of what Americans give. These nations are as chintzy as the day is long.
That's it. I'm never tipping at a French restaurant again.
Well, give them 1.14%. Yeah, when you tip, give them 0.14%. Say, okay, yeah, my meal was $20. I'm going to give you, what is that, 24 cents.
I'll throw a quarter out, yeah.
Yeah, give them a quarter. Yeah, yeah. That serves them right. Most chintzy nations out there turns out to be places like France, followed by South Africa, Singapore, Turkey, and Germany. Well, anyway, ladies and gentlemen, America, the most generous nation on planet Earth, and due, I think, largely, Dave, to the fact that we were a voluntary form of giving. In fact, all the way back, remember, the state did not impose charitable giving. Now, some states did. I think I'm thinking Virginia did at the very beginning, but most of the states did not impose the tithe upon the taxation of the people. That is, it was a voluntary giving to the church and to the 501c3s, or at that time the nonprofit organizations. And it was not imposed upon the people to do so. So America became a nation where it was extremely voluntaristic. And we had so many of these nonprofit charitable organizations that helped the poor and served people throughout the 19th century until, of course, socialism took over in the 20th century. But Germany didn't enjoy that. England didn't enjoy that. Many of these nations had state-established churches. And, Dave, I think that was the undoing of those nations.
I think that might be part of it, but I go back to the Darwinistic question, too. I think those nations that believe that survival of the fittest is how the species becomes better, why would you want to help the weak?
Moreover, most of these nations are far more socialist than we are. So again, it's tied into evolution, of course, but socialism, Marxism, is the doctrine that drives most economies today, folks. I mean, that's obvious. This is why places like Sweden and England have driven up their government spending to GNI ratios significantly over the last 75 to 100 years. America has done so as well, but not nearly as much as other nations like Australia, England, and Sweden. And ladies and gentlemen, it's the socialists that are generous with OPM, with other people's money. They're very generous with other people's money, but they're very, very chintzy with their own. Dave, case in point, what are the most generous states in America but the rich states? Hey, the most generous state in America is Utah. Not necessarily the most prosperous state. In fact, most of the prosperous states aren't nearly as generous as some of the poorer states, according to many of the studies that have been done. And this particular study shows the most generous states in America are Utah, Oklahoma, Nebraska, and Georgia. And what can we say about these? They're just about as red as you can get.
And so what are the stingiest states?
Well, the stingiest states are Rhode Island. The most stingy state in America is Rhode Island.
Wow.
And they're liberal as the day is long as well. Vermont, extremely. That's number two. The most stingy state, the second most stingy state in America is Vermont. How about Delaware? Delaware's up there. Hawaii's up there. Okay? These are the most stingy states in America, folks, mostly blue states. Louisiana is in this, too. Now, Louisiana is an interesting state. It's got some real liberal politics there, but sometimes it does go to the Republicans.
New Orleans tilts the state to the blue with a very large liberal population right there.
Yeah. All right. So folks, here again, once again, people are stingy because they're socialists. They don't want to give. They don't want to be charitable because they're socialists. Socialists, by definition, are not giving, loving people. That's just the way it works, okay? They're not going to take care of their own. They're not going to take care of their poor. They're not going to apply relational generosity to the lives of others. Why? Because they're socialists. By definition, they don't do that. They don't love because they're like Rousseau, who was the original socialist who deposited five of his own children on the steps of an orphanage on their birthday because he felt the state should take care of children, not him. And yet he called himself the most loving person on planet Earth. This is the ultimate hypocrisy. It's shared by socialists everywhere. And that's why you have economies that become very unloving, hateful, and socialist states. They abort their young, and they certainly won't take care of their own parents in their old age. They won't apply much charity, but they will turn everything over to the government. And it turns out the government isn't very charitable after all. And ladies and gentlemen, you see a conflict of worldviews here, don't you? And yet what you see with America is a God-bless nation, the most charitable nation on earth by a long shot. A nation that still believes in God to some extent, a nation that still does not believe, as a majority, that we have descended from apes. And moreover, Dave, we are the nation that has by far the most conservative homeschooling population in the world by a long shot. We have 2 million Americans who are homeschooling here in this country, and it is, I think, also a nation that preserves some of these liberties. You don't find this kind of homeschooling freedom and freedom to raise your children the way that God has told you to. You don't actually find the freedom to bear and to own arms as you do in this country, in other countries. So, again, we have many, many freedoms still in this country that are not shared by others. And, Dave, I think we've got a shot at maybe salvaging this nation, despite the fact there are troubles. And you know, we've mentioned that before. We're up against some serious challenges. We still have a rising tyranny. We still have the weakest families in the Western world. 37% of children born without fathers. The nation is unraveling in many, many, many ways. And yet, Dave, maybe it's our heritage that just hangs in there by its fingernails. We have a rich Christian heritage, a heritage of liberty and freedom.
We have a latent memory of liberty. We have a latent memory of once being a nation that was founded on God's law and God's principles. To the extent that we can recover that memory, to the extent that we can reinstitute God's law, is to the extent that we can recover from this slide that we're on. We may need to disappear as an empire, but we do not need to disappear as a nation.
Ladies and gentlemen, if we are going to salvage faith, family, and freedom anywhere in the world today, if we have a possibility to salvage these values of faith, family, and freedom, it's probably going to happen right here in America. So, ladies and gentlemen, that is exactly why I wrote the book, The Second Mayflower. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and we may have the potential to salvage one haven for freedom, for liberty, for the Christian faith, for the family. In a world that has lost these values, we may be able to do it right here in America. Please get a copy of The Second Mayflower right now by going to my website, kevinswanson.com, and click on The Second Mayflower. It's right on the front page of kevinswanson.com. And ladies and gentlemen, you can hear this program anytime, anywhere in the world at kevinswanson.com. This is Kevin Swanson, inviting you back again next time as we cast a vision for the next generation.